and it wasn't the intention to just skyrocket the affiliate. It just made sense. I was like, a rational person may look at that and be like, you know what? This is already an article about Photoshop, so you probably already have it. That's not true. There's a lot of people that want to make something black and white and something color in the black and white picture, right? But they didn't know they needed specifically Photoshop to do it. So they end up going, picking up the Creative Cloud plans, $9.99 or $19.99 or whatever a month, not $300 or $400, which it used to be. So it's just a lot more easier and accessible.
Hi, folks. It's the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Doust. Quiet Light Brokerage is the leader in helping entrepreneurs build, buy, and sell their online businesses. Since 2007, we have helped thousands buy and sell online businesses. And now, we're putting our extensive knowledge in your earbuds with our trademark relentless honesty and a few laughs along the way.
Anytime you can do something that's fun, you like to do it and make money doing it, hey, it's a win-win-win. And anytime you can win-win-win, you're win-win-winning, you know? If you're just winning or win-winning, that's just winning or win-winning. But when you're win-win-winning, you're win-win-winning.
And now, here's Joe and Mark.
So about a year ago, you had Nathan Singh on the podcast. Nathan was a really good example of how a buyer can get a good deal, beat out buyers that maybe have a little bit of a stronger position with their offer or if they're a cash buyer, just by being kind and generous and investing, more importantly, in the person that's selling the business. And I guess it's time for an update from him.
Yeah, Nathan did a great job. His seller was Syed Balki. He owns Opt-In Monster. That's not the one we sold, but we sold two of his WordPress plugin sites, which are essentially SaaS businesses. And Nathan beat out a full price all cash buyer with a full price SBA deal where Syed agreed to carry a 10% seller note, which was pretty substantial based upon the size of the business. And it's a story I've told often in the different events that we go to and here on the podcast. So sorry for folks hearing it. I'm repeating it. But yeah, the first podcast we did with Nathan was all about that and the transition and training and things of that nature. And we're doing an update. I think this is probably our first entrepreneur acquisition update. And he talks about what it's been like for the last 12 months, some of the wins, some of the losses, some of the challenges, the team and things of that nature. It's a great episode to see what people have done. I think really probably more like 18 months later, I think we sold it to Nathan in the fall of 17.
Yeah, I get asked all the time, like, do you guys follow up with people that have bought these sites? And what does it look like, you know, a little bit after? And frankly, we don't do enough follow up with people who have bought. So this is good. I'm glad that we are doing this with somebody. We're doing it on the podcast live so that people can actually hear how the acquisition has gone a year and a half later. Let's get right into it. I want to hear from Nathan.
Oh, one more thing. I want to just shout out a reminder, this new intro that we have, we've got some movie quotes in there. If you can figure out what the movie quote is for the intro, go back, rewind, listen to it, put it down in the show notes, and we'll give a call out to you in the next episode. Hey folks, Joe Valley here from Quiet Light Brokerage, and today we have our first ever Quiet Light update or acquisition update. We've got Nathan Singh on the podcast. Nathan, welcome.
Hey, Joe.
Good to be back. Good to have you back, man. I tell your story often. I share the story that it's not always the person who has an all cash, full price offer that wins the deal. And that being likable is one of those intangible, very, very important factors. And for those that didn't listen to the podcast that we did with Nathan, he won a deal where someone was bringing all cash to the table on a full price deal. And Nathan came to the table just being more likable, happened to go to the same school as the seller, Syed Balki. I know it's the Gators. Is that, wait a second. Hold on. I'm gonna put on the hat because I have it. I have it. There it is.
That's the right one.
And I didn't plan this. I just happened to have the hat up in the cabinet there. It's been there since fall of 2017. So I'm going to get it wrong. And Syed, he sighed so loudly when I got it wrong. Is it Florida State?
No, I'm going to sigh again. Real loudly. It's University of Florida.
I'm sorry.
The Seminoles.
There it is. There was obviously a quick connection between you and Syed on the conference calls because you both went to Florida State.
University of Florida, not Florida State.
Okay. Folks, obviously I don't pay attention to schools in Florida. I'm from the Northeast originally, and we don't follow our college teams at all. Now, for those watching the video, my hair looks great. Okay, I just took the hat off. You connected with him on the school, but you also connected with him in terms of the way that you wanted to keep the staff in place and take care of them, and that it becomes a family or an extended family. And that just really resonated with him. And he didn't want the call to end with you, whereas the all-cash buyer was all about the fact that he was all-cash, could do a quick close and these types of things. But he was a little rough around the edges. Syed believed in you, trusted in you, and actually took an SBA deal where he had to not get all cash, he got 90%. And so he carried a pretty substantial seller note that, won't be paid in full for, I don't remember the exact terms of the deal, but probably a balloon payment in year five along those lines. Does that sound about right?
Yep, that's right.
All right. So you bought Soliloquy and Enviro Gallery. Can you tell the audience a little bit about both of those businesses and what they're all about and what they do?
Yeah, sure. So both of those businesses are pretty similar in the sense that they are WordPress plugins. EnviroGallery is basically a gallery plugin. That's a really simplified way to put it, but it's really a photo management system. And if you Google best WordPress gallery plugins, you're probably going to see that in just about every result you see. Soliloquy, same deal. It's a slider plugin. Essentially, if you've ever seen sliding pictures and things like that in PDFs and videos, that's what Soliloquy does. But essentially, it just makes developers and designers' lives a lot easier when they're developing these sort of things. That's not something they really want to get into. So just streamlines the whole process. The whole gallery management system is there. They can display, multiple galleries and pictures and sliders in very professional ways, especially for photographers. That's a big deal. And that's what EnviroGallery does.
Did you have a lot of experience, direct experience in WordPress and plugins and things of that nature before buying the business?
Not at all. At least some people actually have worked in WordPress to some extent, whether they blogged or I had very minimal. I'd looked at the back end years ago. At one point, I'm like, no way. So WordPress has come a long way since then. A lot of people who use WordPress and have been keeping abreast of that news, Gutenberg came out. What it did is essentially went straight for the head of Wix and Shopify and some of the really easy to use platforms for building websites. So Gutenberg is that, which is a WordPress site builder. It's built in, it's made by WordPress. So that's made things a lot easier. So now I can get in the back end and use it a lot easier. But no, previous to that, I was pretty new to it. Didn't really understand, the dynamics of the market. But the only thing that I had that was slightly close to that is I developed an app before in iOS. And so it was, again, it was being a part of this community and having some community standards when you have plugins that are uploaded to the repository.
Okay. So you were an entrepreneur. You did sell a business. I sold it for you prior to buying this one, but no WordPress experience. You bought it, this business, with an SBA loan, and it paid a what I would say is a fair multiple. A lot of folks might think it's strong. I won't say it. You're welcome to say it if you want to, but do you have any regrets in terms of the multiple and the use of an SBA loan in the purchase of this business?
No, I don't think so. Regarding the multiple, we did pay a strong multiple. I knew that going in, but I also knew going in, I've gone through hundreds of businesses over the past few years, talked to owners, things like that. In order to get those businesses, kind of like with EnviroGallery and Soliloquy, where the churn was pretty good. It's essentially a SaaS business. It's been well-maintained. It comes from a good pedigree by way of Syed Balki. So all those things played a huge part in me wanting to go ahead and stretch what I was looking to do in that multiple. But on the same end, when you're doing an SBA, it made that decision a whole lot easier as well. So, again, the SBA process, I've talked about that in the last podcast that we did as well. It's come a long way. So for me, having gone through the trenches of years and years of trying to get SBA loans for businesses with no assets and getting to that point, and seeing it streamlined with a guy like Steven Spear and kind of what Bank United did. It's just, it was like a dream to go through that really quickly. But yeah, we're here a year later and I don't regret it. The only thing I'll say that kind of was a thing I didn't sort of anticipate is how quickly the interest rate did change, and it does change, you know, year after year, but it wasn't so drastic that it affected the business in any way, but it did increase just a bit there. So
your loan had a variable interest rate?
I think it was more as a result of the Fed, you know, increasing.
Okay.
It was something that I was aware of, but you know, it was just political things happen and it increased a little bit there.
Okay. All right. So why don't you tell us how things are going? Are you seeing the business? What we closed in the fall of 2017. So it's been a little over 18 months. Have you seen the business grow? Are you challenged by anything, or is it growing year over year at this point?
Yeah, so it is growing. It's a pretty healthy double-digit growth. So,
double-digit growth, okay.
So no complaints there. Challenges are really, again, coming in. I've been pretty much like industry agnostic, every business I've got into. Like I usually know nothing about it, and I prefer it that way in some cases. And so coming in and learning it, I've been attending the WordCamps, went to WordCamp US, went to WordCamp Miami, and really, you know, connecting with the people that are shaping where WordPress is going. And just some quick stats for people that like numbers. WordPress was around like 25% or so of all the websites in the world pretty much. And now they're around 33 to 35%. And that's continuing to grow. And just about every major website that you probably visit is on WordPress. So the fact that market share is growing, that's helped a lot with the organic growth as well.
Is that US growth or a combination of US and international?
I think it's a combination of all the sites used in the world, but definitely United States. I think WordPress has a pretty solid share there.
You know, it's interesting. That's not something that we zeroed in on in the client interview with Syed in terms of WordPress growth. Is it something you thought about prior to and during due diligence, prior to the LOI and due diligence, or is it just worked out that way that you bought essentially a SaaS business on a platform that is growing?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of both. So I understood that WordPress, at that time, the numbers hadn't been released. The numbers I officially saw around WordCamp US or just before. So the actual numbers, I didn't really know at what rate it was growing, but I did know that just the nature of the open source, you know, WordPress community, the fact that they're building upon, we talked about a little about Gutenberg during the acquisition as well, but just kind of seeing the route that they were going in relation to all these other paid sites or the paid platforms, it made sense that WordPress is just going to continue to grow. It's got a foundation to expand on. And so it did play a little, not a significant amount in terms of the actual business acquisition.
Excellent. One of the big reasons why you and Syed are working together now was that you were going to bring the staff over, keep everybody involved. And you work remotely from a home office, whereas everybody else, I think, does as well. How has that transition worked out in terms of the staff and you, and are you still working together?
Yeah, great. Yeah, it's been great. So, you know, we talked a little bit about this again in that previous interview, but there was a kind of a bumpy ride with the staff again, full time. They've been with the previous company for, you know, several years, and they were part of a larger outfit. So there was some worry there that it's just going to be us, you know, essentially four folks transferring over, completely new owner, much smaller company. How's that all going to work out? I think that, you know, just it was a trust thing. And I think after a couple of weeks that they saw that I was in the trenches with them and I was really working to make their lives easier, making sure that they're taken care of. You know, we went on a retreat in Austin, stayed in a big house in an Airbnb together, really got a chance to bond. And we're doing it again this year as well. I think those things all sort of helped build that trust. But I mean, from where we were to point one, just like any transition when you're taking people's livelihoods and basically giving it to someone completely new they've never met, there's always that that anxiety and stuff. So, but we've come a long way in that time, and happy to say that pretty much the entire team is still in place. One person did move on to another opportunity, but outside of that, there was, you know, the core folks are still there.
No, that's great to hear. So it's probably happy with that as well. As far as the training and transition goes, I know that normally it's, you know, up to 40 hours over the first 90 days after closing is the standard in the asset purchase agreement. Have you needed to reach out to Syed and other folks that are in the upper level management side or were of this business beyond that transition and training period so that you just reached out if you had a quick question that didn't come up in the first 90 days?
Yeah, I think it was that. It was the first month or two is the bulk of the questions and stuff. Syed was really good about, we went through and went through training together. Thomas, the co-founder, was there as well, or actually the founder. And so we recorded those conversations, went through each one of the processes. And so I've had all that. That helped tremendously. So if you're selling, try doing that. Go through, record your conversations, and go through the process of what you do day to day. And that really helps for them to not have to ask you questions. They can just look at the video again.
That's a great idea. We use a Chrome extension called Loom, L-O-O-M, on a daily basis. When a broker has a question for me or I have a question for someone else, they often just record their screen and send that. What software do you use?
We use Zoom.
Got it. Okay, we're on Zoom now and we're recording. Fortunately, as you all will hear in an episode or two, I just did a podcast this week. I jokingly said it's the best one I've ever done, but I forgot to hit record, so we'll be doing it again next week. And I'm sure the guest will bring that up in the podcast for sure. All right, let's talk about the biggest challenges that you've had since buying the business back in the fall of 2017.
Yeah, I would say the biggest challenges for me, just like with any other business, is kind of getting on that horse and riding it. It was just the day-to-day stuff, making sure there was no loose ends that I was missing. I think aside from that, it was really that there was not a strong product roadmap going forward. So everything would gone well up until that point. And I think the team was kind of like, well, we're just fixing stuff. How long do we want to just continue just fixing stuff day to day? And so that was just like kind of shaping a product roadmap. Again, I'm coming in super fresh, so there's not a whole lot I can bring to it in terms of this is exactly what we need to do to take this to the next level, right? But the great thing is, since I've run other businesses, and you kind of get a process within yourself that you can apply to these other businesses. And for me, it was like, let's ask the customers. And that's exactly what we did. We went straight to the customers, put out a survey, short, less than 60 seconds to complete. What are the features you like most? What do you want to see? How are we doing? Stuff like that. And they let us have it in a good way, mostly.
In a good way. Okay.
And so the great thing is that they were happy with the feature set, and they provided some stuff that would make them much more happier. And so that's what we're working towards right now.
So they gave you that product roadmap, and then your team is working on that. You're not working on it. You're just visionary, and they're actually doing the actual work itself, right?
Yeah, right. The developers, you know, what I did is basically help prioritize the roadmap. And so the things we had to do first, which is we've got to rebuild some of our functions and things like that. That's the most important part to keep, you know, to build on that foundation. And then outside of that, it's going to be basically hitting those priority items and then doing those in tranches as we move along based on that. So
what would you say are your biggest successes or triumphs, things that maybe they were a challenge, but you've overcome them and see that it's maybe something that kept you up at night, but it's changed and it's a big part of your business now? Anything like that?
I think for me, it's been a little bit of the marketing, the kind of the way to take marketing. WordPress is a little bit different in the sense that we have free versions that are on this .org repository. They've got somewhere in the range of 150 to 180,000 active users or active installs, probably more than that with Soliloquy. And so there's not a lot of data we can gather. And up until recently, there's not a funnel you can put them through to bring them over to the paid versions, because it's actively monitored, and it's a lot different than if you have a trial version and you're moving them on to a paid version in the funnel. So I think the challenges was figuring out ways to get around that and still playing by the rules. So again, opt-ins, we've recently put in opt-ins in the free version. That wasn't something that we could do previously, but things in WordPress community has changed. So that's going to be a huge boon for us. Aside from that, kind of marketing directly to the WordPress base, and a lot of designers, a lot of developers that are used to a certain thing. So one thing they weren't used to was reoccurring payments and annual subscriptions and things like that. But it's become something of paramount importance to anyone that's running plugins, that they have to be running a SaaS type program in order to survive, or else, you know, you won't be able to make it. So
have you changed the payment system with these two products? Have you changed the way that the customers are paying for it?
The payments have stayed the same. I think a lot of it was showing them the value of continuing that.
Okay.
Because again, WordPress is a little bit tricky, because once you pay for it once, you basically own it for life.
Gotcha.
So the key of it is really bringing in those value-added updates and the value-added support. So our support is probably like number two on our most celebrated feature of EnviroGallery Soliloquy. We get it all. We saw it in the survey as well. So making sure that we're doing everything we can for that customer experience, just from the support standpoint, and not only the stuff that we're doing as far as updates and things like that.
So you really brought your marketing experience and expertise into the business, and that's how you're triumphing in a sense. Is that what is attributable to the growth that you've seen, the double-digit growth, or is it that it was going that way and you're just on for the ride and making sure you don't break it?
Yeah, I think there's a balance between those. So when initially, like, mostly when I go into these types of acquisitions, I'm looking for something that's like the first year I'm learning. It's not like I can insert myself and change things at day one, like say if you get a content site, right? I'm essentially dealing with software. So it's always very different. The base is different, and then the software base is different in terms of developers and things like that. So for me, it's applying the past knowledge of just making a great intuitive software, changing up the interface to what I believe is just a better user experience. And outside of that, it's applying some of those just basic marketing things that just need to be done. And in this case, a lot of that, the basics have been done, but it was that out of the box stuff that really needed to get taken care of.
I love that first year just learning approach. I see, you know, lots of these businesses that are listed and sold. There's a certain amount of year over year growth, and the goal is to at least sustain that. And I had a call this week with someone that, you know, blew up the SKU count dramatically. And it was his, you know, kind of biggest failure. But at the same time, it turned out to be a little bit of a triumph as well, because there were some SKUs that are now generating an awful lot of revenue. But there's also a great deal of loss there as well. So I like that learn in the first year process. What kind of things are you working on now that were never done before in the business?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that have also attributed to the growth outside of just, again, being a SaaS business with not a terrible churn. I mean, the churn for WordPress business, I think, is probably a little bit above average of what other people see in WordPress. Again, you buy once, you can potentially keep it. So outside of that, it's been growing our affiliate revenue. That's been increasing pretty tremendously. We had a lot of articles that had been written that were getting pretty decent amount of traffic, didn't have any ads on there, didn't have really any affiliate links, things like that. So that's one of the things, is putting in those affiliate links, building more articles around those really high performing traffic. I think the time just wasn't taken to do that and sort of nurturing that. So that's, I've seen.
Are these affiliate links for other plugins or SaaS products or physical products or a combination of all three?
So the shoe-in for us really became the photo editing tools. We did a lot of, there's been a lot of how-tos done for photo editing tools such as Photoshop and things like that. And so a lot of traffic to that kind of stuff. And it just made sense to start saying, hey, if you don't have Photoshop and you want to do the stuff that you see in this tutorial, here's where you can go. And that's pretty much it. And then building off of that and saying, what other Photoshop competitors are out there? Well, there's Skyline Luminar, there's Capture One, all these different types of photo editing tools that are kind of riding on the coattails and maybe even on the heels of Photoshop. So writing tutorials for those, and the same type of strategy that was used, and saying, hey, if you don't have it, you can go get it over here.
That seems like such a logical thing to do. Slow down, read the article. What are people looking for? What can we, and what, you know what you're doing? You're helping the audience, right? They're reading an article about editing, and you're then offering them, you know, the best photo editing tools right there within the article, and you happen to be making money off of it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it wasn't the intention to just skyrocket the affiliate. It just made sense. I was like, a rational person may look at that and be like, you know what, this is already an article about Photoshop, so you probably already have it. That's not true. There's a lot of people that want to make something black and white and something color in the black and white picture, right? But they didn't know they needed specifically Photoshop to do it. So they end up going, picking up the Creative Cloud plans, $9.99 or $19.99 or whatever a month, not $300 or $400, which it used to be. So it's just a lot more easier and accessible.
But how did you find the affiliate platform to use and those affiliates themselves?
Yeah, so ShareSale has already been in use through the previous ownership. So that's just one of those things. But in this case, it wasn't really even that. It's just just registering for the program, dropping in the links and saying, hey, I should probably focus on this some more too, because it looks like to be growing.
Pretty easy stuff then. That's great. Yeah. Now, you mentioned an email list as well. You've historically had lots of free users, a huge email list. Have you ever done anything with that? And if not, are you planning to do anything?
Yeah. So the free versions, there was really no list before because there's no way to collect emails before. So we've started an opt-in for that, which again, I think it's only been a few couple of short weeks, but already we're seeing the results come through. The list that we do have is just essentially people that have paid the pro. But the great thing is we're able to cross sell with Soliloquy, because generally if you need something like EnviroGalley, you'll probably need something like Soliloquy.
Yeah.
So that's continuing to churn along as well.
That's fantastic. Nathan, you look so happy and relaxed and just chill. Are you always this way, or is it you're just in a good position in life now that you're running this business and see the trends and whatnot? I mean, what's the deal? What's the secret?
It's a little bit both. So I've been in positions where things were going absolutely terrible. And so the short answer is I meditate every day, so that I just accept things as they are. So that makes life a lot easier for anyone listening. The second part is, I think it is that, you know, I paid a higher multiple, but I got the security of if all else fails and I can't figure out what to do, it will still follow some level of revenue that was expected. So outside of that, it's just building upon that success that's already sort of continuing as well.
Excellent. What's in the works, you know, goal-wise? What are you looking at in the next 12 to 24 months? Anything that if we come back for the second update in another 12 to 24 months, what are you hoping to achieve?
At a minimum, I'd like to achieve that same double-digit year-over-year growth. But I think, again, entrepreneur stretch goal, triple-digit, all these different, you know, revenue channels. Again, I opened up the affiliate revenue more. That's beginning to be more of a significant one. But a couple more like that, I think, would be interesting. And just continued growth, man. I mean, the main thing is, you know, this is one of those things we've discussed earlier, is that focus on the customer, making sure they're happy, making sure that we're hitting all those needs. And then, you know, the business kind of just takes off by itself if you're hitting all those things.
That's a clear and simple plan, not too complicated. Focus on the customer. Makes a lot of sense. Any words of advice from one entrepreneur to others in the audience, people that maybe they're working in the corporate world and, you know, want to be the next Nathan Singh? Any advice that you can give in terms of running your own business and overcoming challenges and things of that nature?
Yeah. So I would put it succinctly into patient, persistence, and presence. Those three things.
All right. Patience, I get that. Persistence, I get it. Presence.
Meaning, I think as entrepreneurs, what we get into is too much looking around to see what someone else is doing or where they want to be in a couple of years and getting super stressed if they don't hit those goals. Remember, that's just your perception of where you want to be. You know, right? Reality happens, different things. And I think that if you're approaching everything in a present moment, I'm not trying to sound like a spiritual guru here.
It's just natural, though. I like it. Keep going.
If you're approaching everything in a present manner, you're likely to focus on what you're doing at this point and not be so stressed out on all this other stuff. Because essentially, that's going to be what's going to mess you up, is worried about the future, worried about how things are not going, things like that. Focus on what the problems are at the current moment and do those things at that minute, at that second, and just kind of block everything out. I just feel like everybody's uniquely designed to run their own race. Don't look left and right. Just do your own thing and you'll get to where you're trying to get to.
I like it. I like it very much. Nathan Singh, thank you very much for coming back on, giving us the first ever Quiet Light update. I look forward to doing this again and wish you the best of success.
Absolutely. Good talking to you, Joe.
You too.
Today's podcast was produced by Podcast Motor and the Quiet Light content team. If you have a suggestion for a future podcast, or if you want to guess the quote from the beginning of the show for a chance at getting a shout out on the pod, email us at podcast@quietlightbrokerage.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and this show wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.